This occurred in Chicago several years ago in the 1920s. I won't say which 20 because, after all, why should I give my age away? Not that you all don't know that I'm over 16. But this big bitch and myself, Miss Sherry, you know her. She looks exactly like a bottle with legs spread. Mary, when she sits down, you've never seen so much in your life. All over the chair. You could cut enough off and feed the hogs for a week. So anyway, we were working Chicago, so to speak. And these two friends of ours, they decided they were going to get married to each other. Well, even in Chicago, in those days, you just didn't do that kind of goings-on. That is, not as openly as they planned on doing it. But they decided they were going to defy convention. They sent out 100 engraved invitations to the wedding. They were going to have it in a church, no less, on the north side. You can check all this in the police records. It's all there, headlines and everything. So they decided they were going to have this church wedding, and they were going to have it on a Thursday. Well, the minister of the church was going into the Wisconsin Northwoods, whatever he was going into the Northwoods for. That's what he went. And his son was 20 years old, who had been under suspicion for ages, but after this mess, they proved it on her. She was going to perform the ceremony. So we got a hold of an engraved invitation, and away we went to the church. And I said to her, I said, do you think we really ought to go into the thing? She's Mary. I wouldn't miss it. She called me Mary for short. I don't know why, but we always could use that name to dispense with each other. So we ducked into the church. I have never in my life seen anything like it. There was young men turning into young women right in front of my very eyes. Lipsticks, powder puffs. Oh, it was grand. And I said to Miss Sherry, I said, let's go back into the ante room and say hello to the two who are getting married. So we went on back in the ante room and said hello to the aunties, and then we said hello to the two that were getting married. And they were having a heated argument over which one was going to wear the veil. I said, why not tear it in two and both of you wear it? So they drew straws, they'd drawn everything else, and decided they would tear it in two and wear it. So, Mary, they looked lovely. I have never seen anything so grand as they come down the isle. They was stalking up the isle there, when all of a sudden they got right up to the thing, and the young man who was going to perform the ceremony was standing there looking as gay as a lark. Oh, she looked grand. You couldn't tell who was the bride with her standing there. And she looked down at these two and said, do you, before they could deny it, the law came in. I have never seen so many police in my life. If they had all flashed the badges once, we'd have been completely blind with the reflection of the lights. But I had such a commotion has happened. Everybody was stripping drag off. The bitches were running for cover. And I said to Miss Sherry, this is no time to run. They'll catch us sure as hell. So I said, let's hide in the organ. She says, where is one that size? And I don't start a little argument at this time of the day. I said, not that, the pipe organ. She says, well, how? I said, come, dear. And so we flew around behind the organ and climbed up these steps. And we got in these great big pipes. I got in F and she got in G. I said, don't slip too far down in this thing. You know, you got to get out of it eventually. So I said, we'll just hang by the armpit. Somebody played deep in the heart of Texas. We'd have froze to death. So there we hung. Well, you have never seen such a commotion in your life. The bitch is running for cover. It's the first time I've ever seen packets go down Michigan Boulevard with stained glass halos on, right through them windows. Vroom, like that. So there we hung, and the wagons were backing up, and the syringes were blowing, and the police were fainting. Such a commotion. When finally it cleared away, everything was quieted down. Lipsticks, powder puffs. I've never seen it. It looked like somebody had thrown a hand grenade in Elizabeth Arden's. So I said to Miss Sherry, I said, Mary, come, let's get out of this organ and get on away from here. I am fit to be tied. I'm tired. So anyway, the start of this thing was we got out of this organ. I got up out of F, and she started to get out of G and couldn't budge. So I said, well, all right, Mary, hold still. I'll go down and turn the organ on and blow you up out of it. So I got downstairs and turned this great big electric organ on and find the key. Finally, I did. All he would do is just shudder and make her cheeks get red, wouldn't budge her. Honestly, if this shit had false teeth, had blown every one of them right out of her mouth. I had never heard such screams, so I said, all right, you hold still. I'll go home and get Lil, and we'll drag Diamond Tooth. Lil was our landlady, a great big blonde faggot. When she couldn't get gin, she'd drink Blonde X. And you know, in the 20s, Blonde X, it made your hair snow white or made you transparent. We knew when she had to go half the time before she did. You could see her every move from the time her food left her mouth until it left the body. She was a camp. Always, we'd say, go, dear, go, quick. Go louse up the parlor. So I went home by alleys and devious routes, and finally when I got there, I banged on the door. I said, Lil! She says, go away, Mary, I'm busy, my nerves upset. So I opened the door and I said, what a time of day for this. I said, look, Miss Sherry's in trouble, she's in dirt. She says, that is not new. So I said to them, come on, let's go back. So the six of them got them, put the uniforms on, and eight of us went back to the church, and we dragged her out of this organ. Well, as you know, Lil was such a camp. She had a diamond in one of her teeth on the side, not the front tooth, but on the side. And at home, she was always smiling with that tooth where you would see it. But when she went out at night, she'd smile with her lip down. So one night, she forgot to smile at the wrong time. And a great big sailor knocked her tooth right out of her mouth into a urinal. I have never seen such grabbing for a tooth in my life. Finally, she got a hold of it and swallowed it. Oh, what that diamond went through before we got it back. We kept her on paper for 11 days. Finally, we got it back. It had a high polish, but we did get it back. So anyway, we went on home by devious routes, and we had some tea to quiet our nerves. And I said to Lil, I said, Mary, this is going to be a cameo. There's going to be a lot of scandal come from this whole mess. She says, well, that ain't nothing new after all. So we were planning that night to have a little kind of a soiree. And I said, I don't think we should have a party tonight because the law might come. She says, oh, Mary, what difference does it make? So I said, all right. So we decided we would have what is called a drag. All you had to do was give her 4 inches of string and a feather fan, and she was in drag. That one was a camp. So they gave the party, and we were drinking and screaming and laughing. All I was wearing was a bungalow apron because I realized if I had anything else on, puked on myself, I couldn't get rid of it. I just threw the bungalow apron off, and I wore a blonde wig, had a heavy Marcel wave in it, and French heel shoes. And Lil wore the same thing. We were always prepared, you know what I mean? If you spilled anything on yourself, it was quite all right. So she got a little sick, and she was mad anyway, so I said, come on in the bathroom, Mary, and as sick as you are, you might as well hit the tub. She couldn't hit the Pacific Ocean. She had aimed in a western direction, but we aimed for the tub this time. So lo and behold, while we were in there, the law came into the thing again. They just kicking doors down like fiends. And I said to her, look, the law is here. And the house was built on the side of a hill anyway, and we'd gone in on the ground level, and it was 3 floors down and back. I said, how do we get out of here? She said, come, Mary, we'll open the window and fly out of this place. So we opened the window and flew out of the place and fell 3 floors down into the arms of the biggest policeman I have ever seen in my entire life. And he fell right on top of me of all times. Any other time I wouldn't have minded so much, but he fell on top of me. And she jumped up and was running down the alley and said, come back here, broad, and roll this guy off of me. So she came back and rolled him off me, and then she rolled him, and we flew on down around the block. I said, we can't go home this way. Good heavens, you know that as well as I do, because we're going to be spotted. So she says, well, I'll flag a cab. So I said, where are we going to get a cab? So we flagged a cab, or she flagged a cab. Of course, we didn't have a stinking dime on us, and went over to a friend's house of ours, and she didn't have any money either. But anyway, Diamond Tooth Lil paid the bill. It's amazing how she can get out of situations like that. Another time, I'll tell you another experience. Goodbye.